In other words, he repeats Yitzhak again the first time.
Okay.
K or B, then it says Yitzhak.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
That's what Rashi says.
Right. Okay, Eichanan, but here he's just giving us a generally, over here Rashi is just giving us a generally, obviously it's very complicated, I'm certainly there probably a major machlokes rishonim as many interpretations. Rashi is just giving us the basic skeleton pshat, the basic simple pshat, and that is, there appears to be some verbosity in the pasuk, especially in reference to Hashem's name. We have to acknowledge that indeed there were really two separate major episodes in Yaakov Avinu's life of Hashem appearing. Can you imagine? Most people don't have even one. Hashem doesn't appear to the average person. And here Hashem appeared to Yaakov Avinu twice. Each one is reflected in a different expression in the previous pasuk. He's coming to collect, he's coming to take advantage of the promises that were made to him for protection. Okay, now we come to pasuk Yud Aleph, Kotointi. By the way, Kotointi, if you look in this pasuk over here on the screen, you see the Tameh HaMikra, Azla Geresh, Kotointi, right? So that's one way, but there are many, there's another Mesorah, Kotointi. It's a rivii. What is the correct trop for the word kotointi? Is it an azla geresh, like you see over here, or is it a rivii? There are two different versions. And it's interesting, this pasuk is the eighth pasuk of the parasha. It's the eighth pasuk of the parasha. I think it's the eighth parasha, is that correct? Is Vayishlach the eighth parasha in the Torah? I believe it is, right? Vayishlach is the eighth parasha. I think Pasuk Yud Aleph, if I'm not mistaken, is the 8th Pasuk. So, Dalid, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the 8th Parasha, and Pasuk Yud Aleph is the 8th, Pasuk, correct? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's the 8th Parasha, it is the 8th Pasuk. Chazal said that a Talmud Chacham should be humble. You know, Moshe Hoya Onav, Me'oid mikol ha'od. What's the pasuk? Moshe ha'yon. A person needs to be humble. However, even the humblest of all men has, the Gemara says, has to have a shminis shebish shminis, an eighth of an eighth, 1/64th of gaiva. What is the significance of the number 64? I don't know. But there is a significance in the number 64. 1/64th. So here there's a drasha that this is the eighth parasha. It's the eighth parasha, and it's the eighth pasuk, and it says here kotointi. Yaakov here is feigning anivos. He's saying kotointi. Ich bin garnished. Ich bin garnished. I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing over here. I'm a nothing. So even a person who's a nothing has to have a shtickle gaiva, a shminis shebish shminis. So how would that tie into rivii? Because rivii, the name of the trop, I don't know, there are different spins, there are different ways to spin it. But a rivii means four, and there are four notes. Rivii, there are four notes in the rivii. So it's, so, wait, that's eight. Well, that doesn't really answer the question, too. That's a very... I'm forgetting. There's something better. I'm forgetting why the number four. Rivii, I don't remember why. Rivii has something to do with this. Kotointi here is an Azla Gerish. But there's another Mesoira that you should say a Rivii, a four. And four has something to do with the fact that this is the eighth Parasha and this is the eighth Pasuk. And eight multiplied by eight is a shminis shebish shminis, that a person has to have a shtickel gaiva, even the most humble of people. You know all the Narvardic jokes. You know, there was Narvardic was one of the big Musar yeshivas pre-war Europe. And Narvardic, they walked around the whole day.
Rabbi Yoizel
from Narvardic, okay. Hashkocha from Kotointi, Ma'amish Kotointi. And Navardik, what was the derech? Derech was to dress like shalom. You dress like a shmata. There were two musa yeshivas, two major mahalchim, Slobodka and Navardik. In Slobodka, they dressed perfectly, like kings. They lived like malchus. The kavod ha'adam, the godless, the greatness of man, is what was the primary focus of Musar. And in the Avardik was just the opposite. They would walk around and they would say, I'm a garnished. And they would train the Talmidim to go into, let's say, to go into a lumber yard and ask the person behind the counter, can I please purchase some milk and cheese? So the guy in the lumber yard, when he hears a bachar, yeshiva bachar, could you imagine the scene? A yeshiva bachar walks into a lumber yard and he says, go in today to Ace. Next to you of Meir, right next to your house, there's the Ace hardware store. You walk into Ace hardware store and you ask the person behind the counter, I would like to purchase 2 dozen eggs and a loaf of bread. Could you imagine what they'll say to you? And they would humiliate you. And that's exactly what the lesson was. That's right. Go into the lumber yard, ask them for 2 dozen eggs and a loaf of bread, and listen to them make litzanis of you. And relish the litzanis to humble yourself. And after you get over that, then you go to the bakery and walk into the bakery in Avenue M, go to Kaff's bakery and say, I would like 10 2x4s and some screws and nails, and listen to them humiliate you. That's what they did. That was the lesson. That was the lessons that they taught them in the Vardik. Because there was a mice in the Vardik. A guy comes to the Vardik and he's sitting the whole day and he's clogging. He's shuckling like a litvak. And he's saying, Ich bin a garnished. Ich bin a garnished. Ich bin a, like an OCD. Obsessive compulsive disorder, repeating 1,000 times, Ich bin a garnished. And there was another bacher there, a younger man says, who does this guy think he is? He's only here a couple of days and he thinks he's a garnished? Who do you think you are? So I have to tell you over here that they have over here on Avenue N a yeshiva called Navardik. Okay, it's called Beis Yosef Navardik. There's a yeshiva here on Avenue N and Rabbi Yafin. Rabbi Yafin is a Rosh Shiva and he is an Enikel. I don't know the Yichus. I don't know the ganze Yichus of the whole dynasty of Navardik, but he's a Yoyresh. And he started a yeshiva he has a yeshiva. They moved in. The yeshiva wasn't his yeshiva. They purchased the yeshiva recently, a while ago.
They have a yeshiva in 42nd or 43rd by 16 in Borough Park.
Another yeshiva. I don't know all the yeshivas.
To be the original Navardik.
All I know is they have here a yeshiva called Navardik. And all I know is that Navardik, they're doing renovations very soon. And I don't know if it's finalized, but it seems like they made an agreement with the Young Israel of Midwood, where we have the shir. It's going to be a problem for us. It's going to be a big problem for us. I don't know what the plans are. That they're moving into the building. The yeshiva is going to move into the Young Israel of Midwood for a whole year while they do renovations on their building on Avenue N. And they're going to be paying the shul. I don't know. Yeah, so I thought so also. It's unlikely. They'll take over the whole building. So there was the fellow who's telling this to me. He says to me, you know, they take over the whole building here. I don't know what's going to be. But one thing I can tell you, they're going to be swarming all over the place, these guys. Very nice, beautiful, Torah. What difference is it to me, right? They're going to be swarming all over the building. But one thing I can tell you, you don't have to worry about anyone walking up and down the aisle saying to himself, Ich bin a garnished. Those days are over. You don't have to worry about that. Okay, so this is Kotointi. Yaakov Avinu was a Navardika. See, we had yesterday a whole discussion. What was Yaakov Avinu? So we've proven that he was a Chabadnik, because he said Malachim Mamish, Menachem and Lushinitsin. We proved that he was a Mizrahi, because he prepared for Milchama. He was part of the IDF. We proved that he was a Breslava, because he said, Vayira Yaakov Me'oid Vayetzer Loi. He had Tsar, that he was afraid. And Rav Nachman Breslov said, he said, Hakol Olam Kulo Gesher Tsar Me'oid V'Hoi Ikar Shaloi Lefached Oid. So he was complaining that he was not living up to his Rebbe's directive. So he was a Breslova, he was a Chabad, he was a Mizrahi, and here we see he was in the Vardaka. Kotointi, kotointi. He's Ich bin a garnished. Ich bin a garnished.
As long as you're mentioning a joke in this parsha, you have the riot. And Yaakov was a Galician because he called him up on Peniel. It says afterwards God called him to do it.
Oh, Peniel, ah, so it's Euch the Galician. Okay. Ah, gewaldig. So we now have another Myla. You can add to his resume. Another feather, Peniel, not Penuel. Peniel, a Galician, another feather in his cap. Unbelievable. Okay? So he says, Kotainti Mikol HaChasodim. It's a good thing he doesn't say Mikol HaChasidim. Mikol HaChasodim, Mikol HaEmez HaShoasisis of Deach, Hakiv Makli, with my staff, Avarti Yesayardin Hazeh, Hashem, I'm Kotainti. From all the now we learn the posture on the pasuk is kotainti. I've been diminished. My merits have been diminished because of your abundant kindness. When Hashem does a miracle, does chesed for a person, he is spending his life savings, his savings in olam haba, umikol ha emes, all of the truth. What does that mean? What in the world does that mean? I don't know. We're brainwashed. We read this all the time. We don't even know what we're saying. We have to see what that means. Asher osisa esavdech, what you've done for your servant, ki v'makli, with my stick of arti esayardin hazeh. When I came here originally, I passed over the yardin with a stick. And now look at this. I have now 11 children. And I am super wealthy. He was probably one of the wealthiest people in the world at this time, Yaakov. He divided his family, we learned yesterday, into two machanos, and he's thanking Hashem for the infinite kindness that he has bestowed upon him in this 20-year period of time. He's gone from literally nothing, a fugitive, with absolutely nothing, and now look what I have in my possession. By the way, he had a makil, that he did have. Who else was reduced to a nothing, and only down to a makel? Shloimei HaMelech. Shloimei HaMelech, he ruled
all the rabbis, all the chesisha rabbis, they have nothing, just a
makel.
Okay,
but yeah, Shloimei HaMelech, he ruled over the entire world, everything. And what happened? One day he got into trouble. Ashmedai, because of it's a long Gemara. Ashmedai, a demon came, and basically threw him out. Ashmedai was an imposter. He made believe that he was the king. And Shlomo HaMelech was thrown out of the palace, and he was nothing. He would walk around and tell people, you know who I am? I'm Shlomo HaMelech. And they would say, you really? You're Shlomo HaMelech? And you know who I am? I'm Donald Trump. If you're Shlomo HaMelech, I'm Donald Trump. He would tell people, they didn't believe him. They thought he was a meshugana. Shlomo HaMelech is in the palace. The truth was, he was Shlomo HaMelech. And who was in the palace? Ashmedai. And Chazal say, what kept him sane? This is an incredible Chazal. What kept Shlomo HaMelech sane during the time that he was in exile from his malchus? He was moilech on his makel. He had, all he had was a stick. And he was noig malchus on the stick. He would say to the stick, you know, I'm the melech. The makel was his malchus. A person needs, a lot of psychology in that, a person needs to direct his needs, even on a stick, to keep him sane. He was moilech on the entire world. And now he had nothing. How did he maintain, keep himself normal? He was moilech on his makel. So Gemara, here you have the same exact thing. Yaakov Avinu literally had nothing. He was a fugitive. Esav was in hot pursuit. Eliphaz overtook him. Eliphaz took away from him every last penny that he had. And he said, ki v'makli. All I have is a makel of ardiyas, a yardiz of yato yitzil shnei machemes. Rashi says, kotointi. Let me get it. I have to get this out of the way. I have something over here on the screen, which is in the way. I can't see. I have to move this. Give me one moment to figure out how to move this out of the way. Oh, okay. I got it. Okay, over here it says Kikotointi. What's Kotointi? Mikol HaChasodim. So we learned this week. We have a shiur on this week. Kotointi means Nisma'atu Zichu Yosai. I have been diminished. Al Yidei HaChasodim Vo Emes Shasi Si'imi. Rashi doesn't really explain what it means, Emes. Lekach Ani Yore Shema. I'm afraid, Shema. Mi Shehiv Tachtani. From the time that you promised me, Nis Lach. Lachti Bechei. This is a very beautiful expression. It's not beautiful, but it's a very powerful expression. I become filthy in Chet. Rashi's words are gold. Rashi is mamish that Rabban shall call Yisrael nislach lachti Bechei. When a person does an Avera, what's the big deal? So you did an Avera. Nu ein tzadik bo'aretz asher yaseh toiv lo yecheta. So no, you did an Avera. No, when a person does an Avera, he's filthy dirty. He's dirty. If a person would not walk into a public gathering, walk out into the street, even walking around your home, if you're filthy dirty. A person is drinking a cup of coffee and the whole cup of coffee spills all over his shirt. He has a nice, pristine, white shirt and the cup of coffee spills all over him. You're embarrassed. You don't go walk out into the street with a cup of coffee spilled on your shirt. That's not the way it goes. And Kol Shekein, when a person is even more filthy, when you have other issues, it's disgusting. When a person does a chait, it affects his entire essence. It affects his personality. It affects his way of thinking. It affects his relations with other people. He's nislachlachti b'chait. And the yigroim lihi moser biyad esav. This the we have an expression, we summarize this words, really it's a Gemara. Shema Yigroim Hachet. Just because a person was promised blessings, it means nothing. There are no guarantees in life. Shema Yigroim Hachet. If a person has done Averois, the Chatoim, can cause that all of the blessings and all of the segulos that he has are not going to be effective because the chait has diminished, dulled their potency. Rashi doesn't say the words of the Gemara. Rashi elaborates upon the words of the Gemara. These words don't appear in the Gemara. Rashi is quoting the Gemara, Shema Yigroim HaChait, okay, Shabbos Daf Lamed Beis, and there it says Shema Yigroim HaChait, and Rashi here is elaborating with this very unique expression, Mishif Tachtani, from the time that you promised me, Nis Lach Lachti Bechait V'Yigroim Li, it will cause me Lihim Oser to be delivered Biyad Esav. Now, Mikol Ho'emes, this we ask, what does this mean, Mikol Ho'emes? Amitas Divorech, your truth, Sheshamarta Li Kol HaHavtachoy Shehif Tachtani. Meaning, what he's saying over here is, you've already paid me off. Umikol ho'emes, the way Rashi is obviously a very difficult expression, what this pasuk means, and you have to be very careful how Rashi understands the words. Yaakov here is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he promises, Hashem pays. Hashem is faithful to pay, to do what he says. You promised me, Hashem. You promised you'll take care of me, you'll do for me, all of these things. You did already. You're done. If I go look back in the last 20 years, I can say with certainty that every single promise you made to me has been fulfilled 10 times over. So now, what could I expect? I'm done. You've paid off your debts. Hashem, you have your MS. You represent MS, and your words, your promises have been validated. And there's nothing more I can expect. So that's how you look over here. You know, so he's still over here. You've done for me more than I deserve, and I've been my I don't have any merits. I've been diminished because of all of the chasad that you've done for me, more than what I deserved. All of the promises you've made for me, either we're trying to say yigroim hachet, they've been cancelled because I did not keep my part of the deal. And even if I did keep my part of the deal, you've already paid off. You already paid off double, triple, 10 times off. We call Hames. You're Amitas Devarim. It's a very, very powerful Rashi. Amitas Devarecha, the truth of your words. Sheshamarta. I acknowledge you've guardedly kol ha'avtachos she'hevtachtani. Whatever you promised me, you've paid off. Kiva makli lo hoya imi le kesev le zahav le v'loy mikne. When I came here 20 years ago, I had nothing. Not silver, not gold, not cattle. El makli levadoi. U'medesh agoda nosan makli b'yardin v'nifka ha'yardin. There's a medesh agoda. That Yaakov Avinu, he went and he put his makel in the Yarden, and the Yarden split. Now that is very interesting, because the Yarden was splitting for Yaakov to leave Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Kiva Makli, and he's going away, because we're describing when he left. That's very bizarre, because when we talk about the Yarden splitting, we talk about when we came into Eretz Yisrael. The Yarden, well, it didn't split. The word Nifka means to split into two parts. When we came into Eretz Yisrael, it did not split. Hashem just held the Yarden up and did not, it's a river, did not let it go downhill. It wasn't a split, it was held back. Okay, these words need to be analyzed in more detail. Let's take a look at the Targum, a little bit running out of time, possibly get Aleph. Kotainti. What does it mean, Kotainti? Zeiron. Zeiron means, it means, it has been diminished. Okay, so zoch vasi, my merits mikol chastin, because of all the kindness. Umikol. Now here's a very important word. Here's where the Targum is coming to disagree with Rashi. Umikol tov von. He translates over here the word ms toiv, the good things. Excuse me, where in the world does the word tovon come to mean, and the word MS come to translate to the word Tovan? This requires explanation. Hold off 1 second. De avadet im avdoch, are yichidai avadis. Yichidai means alone. I was all alone. Ki v'makli. So he is doing something also very bizarre, the Targum. He's saying b'makli does not mean the word a makel, a stick. It means yichidai. What does that mean exactly? When a person walks alone on the road, you walk with a stick, a makel. So he's giving us a homiletic translation for the word v'makli. It means a stick. Avarti es hayarden hazed, this yarden. Okay, avaris yos yarden ahaden ucha'an, and now havesi, I am, litzartain mashriyon, two camps. Now, the Targum makes a lot of sense, because according to Rashi, if you're going to learn a makel, it means a stick. Rashi says, go back to the Rashi. Rashi says, makli lo hoye imi le kesev le zav le mikne ela makli levadoi. Rashi is coming to disagree with Unkelus. Makel means a stick. Now, if it means a stick, what's the connection to the end of the pasuk? End of the pasuk, v'ata now hoyisi l'shtei machanais. So now, this is very important. This is really what Rashi means with the Yarden. Rashi is reading what it says here in the Targum. The Targum is right. Because if you look at this pasuk, the end of the pasuk must parallel the beginning of the pasuk. You just can't say statements that don't make any sense. If Yaakov Avinu is saying, when I came here, I had a makel, and now I have two machanais. What is a makel have to do with two machanos? You had a makel and now the two machanos. What does that mean? What's the beginning, the contrast between a makel and two machanos? So the Targum therefore was on the mark, and he says the only way to really make sense out of this pasuk is to say that when it says the word makel, makel means is just a metaphor to mean alone. I was one man. It was a one-man show.
The reason we think it's a one-man show is because Yaakov and Gematria is the same Gematria.
Is what?
It's the same Gematria.
As what?
Yaakov Gematria is 182, and Yaakov is 182.
Oh, wow. Okay, unbelievable. Wow.
Woo. I thought of it, and now I looked up to see it, because it's too obvious, so the Balaturim says it.
Wow. I don't know, you have a mind like I don't know how what goes on in your mind to come up with this.
It just thought that it made sense, so I wanted to see it. Maybe that's the basis, I shouldn't say the basis for Unkelus, but that's what it is. And the Bala, I just ran to look in the Bala Turim, and the Bala Turim agreed. The Bala Turim, I shouldn't say agrees with me. I thought of it myself, but the Bala Turim said, the guy said, it's too obvious, and therefore right away.
Unbelievable. So the Targum is right. The Targum is correct. You have to make sense between the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk. So the end of the Pasuk means I have now two machanois. I have two camps of. So that means in the beginning of the Pasuk, it means I was alone. I'm a single individual. A stick doesn't make any sense. That's correct. It's a metaphor. A makel means you're all alone. Because when you're all alone, you walk in the streets all alone, you walk with a stick. That's the way people walked in the olden days. You go in the street with a stick, you're a lost soul. A person who's a lost soul, a Nebuch, he walks alone in the street, you walk with a stick. It's a metaphor. Rashi reads the Targum, and Rashi in his second interpretation, what does Rashi tell this Medrash Agada? No, there are only about a million Midrash Agada, I don't mean a million, but you know, Medrash Agada is massive, massive. Rashi doesn't just throw around Medrash Agada. He doesn't just throw off his sleeve whenever he wants. He's very selective, extremely selective in what he'll throw out. And Rashi always tells you, I'm only going to quote you a Medrash if the Medrash fits into the Pasuk. That's what he always says. Lebasi elu lefarish. If the medrash fits into the pasuk, I'll tell you the medrash. If the medrash is just way out, it's a word, it's a remez, it's a dot, it's a this, and you're going to tell me a whole story. Yeah, so in Achnami, there's a mesora. We have a muna. All of these things are true, and you want to be merames. I'm not here to go do that for you in the chumash. Rashi, the medrash agada means the shnei machanois means the two sides of the Yarden. According to the Medrash Agada, the Rashi stuff doesn't mean that, oh, now I have I took all of my possessions and I sent half of it is in Australia and the other half is in Canada. Just in case one of the economies of these two countries falters, I'll have, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. No, the Shnei Machanois means Kiva Makli Avarti Es HaYarden Hazeh, when I'm passing the Yarden, I have a makel. I put the makel into the Yarden. And you know what happened? The Ato Hayisi, now the Yarden has been transformed into Shnei Machanois. Two bodies. Two bodies, two entities. And I'm able to walk right in between the two. Only when you learn the Targum do you get an appreciation what Rashi really means to say with his second parish. In the second parish, Kiv Medrash Agada, Nosan, Makloi, Bayardain, Vinifka Hayad. The word Nifka means to split into two. This, by the way, is not the word that's used when Yehoshua stopped the Yardain to come into Eretz Yisrael. It didn't split. The waters just stood as a pillar. The waters are going downstream. You don't have to split the waters. No such thing as splitting the waters. You just stop the water like a dam from it going downhill and it becomes a mountain, and it becomes like a wall. What do you mean split? Where did Rashi get the word Yarden? Yarden is a river, the word split. That's exactly what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, I put the makil into the Yarden, and now the Yarden is Milosh Neimachanis. Rashi's second interpretation is following the theme of Unkelus. The thing of Unkelus, but Rashi in his first interpretation doesn't like it. I don't like this idea. Makli means I'm all alone. I want to take a literal translation. A stick. A stick. So what does a stick turn into? Shnei Machanais. So Rashi apologizes and Rashi really elaborates. He says, I don't have kesef, v'loi zahav, v'loi mikneh, ela makli. The word makel is a miut. I had nothing. Nothing. All I had was a makel. Now I have shnei machanos. If not for Rashi explaining, the word makel doesn't mean you don't have Swiss bank accounts. You come over here to shul. When you walk into shul, what do you have in your pocket? When you come into shul on Shabbos, you have nothing in your pockets. I don't have a penny in my pocket. You're not allowed to. Doesn't mean you're a pauper. People that come into Shulon Shabbos, the billionaires, they have assets all over the world. We can't even begin to imagine. You look at the guy. You look at the guy who walks into shul. You think he's a beggar. He's disheveled. He hasn't shaved in days. He doesn't exactly have the best deodorant. And he has nothing on his body to prove who he is. Who are you? I'm Donald Trump? Really? Really? Yeah, yeah. Show me some identity. Shabbos, I have nothing. I have nothing to show. I don't have any form of identification to show, but I am worth billions. So when it says Hekiva Makli, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm a pauper. I have a makil. So you have a makil, and you're a billionaire, so the end of the pasuk doesn't make any sense. That is why Rashi, we take this for granted because we're so brainwashed, but Rashi has to explain to us, no, in this context, the makil is meant to explain, this is all you got. It's not that I'm wearing a suit that costs $10, but I'm worth $1 trillion. No, no, no. This is all you got. You got nothing. This is it. It doesn't say that in the pasuk, but that's how Rashi is forced to learn. The Targum didn't want to do that because according to the Targum, the makli, this means I have a makil. I also have $1 billion stashed away in somewhere in some Swiss bank account. That's why the Targum had to say the word kiva makli is a metaphor to mean yichidai. Rashi, in the second interpretation, comes over to the understanding the kasha of Ungulus, and that's why he makes a medrash. I put my makel into the yardain, and look what happened. The yardain turned into two machanas. Okay, very quickly, just to see what it says, just a brief glance, because the time is up. They see what he says over here on the side. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Zeirin, is katointi me'otim, very small. Kamnosh esmatu zuchu yosai. We have the Rashi. Fine, katointi kirashi. Fine. Let's go further. Im avdoch ke next yichidai ki b'machne lufi akavon shay levad. It was a yuvan amim shachpas viatish shemachne. It's exactly everything we just discussed. Then he goes into the rush ki a rush shemati yuskach choy yoyim memneishav ke ki b'machne levad yad. Is it dagmo yichidai viat choy levanim v'zeh shama viat choy yisul shemachne. Okay. Vloy perish unkelis karashi makli achavana ani yusoi. Okay, basically everything that we just said. We really explained the whole thing over here. Okay, we really explained the whole thing over here. It's pretty much we've covered the main yesoid of this targum. All right, time is up. Rabbi Sai, the fun is over. Have a wonderful evening, Mishnah. We'll see you all tomorrow. And Rabbi Yefsi, thank you very much for giving a fantastic share today. If I have some free time, I will definitely check out what you said today. I'm very curious.
You don't have to go to sleep.
I'm very curious to hear about this topic. Rav Beryl Feinstein is the Malamokim. The Malamokim is now the Rosh Hashiva.
Yeah, so it occurred to me. So I made some phone calls. I wanted to hear about what the feeling was in general, if he is the one, what the scuttlebutt is.
Rav David appointed him? He gave it Tzavah that he should be his Malamokim?
Well, I don't know, gave it Tzavah, but the thought process is that he is going to take over. I know his brother is going to certainly stay in Staten Island. So I wanted to know if they were putting up another Rebbe, or I don't know who the Rebbeim are left over there. You know...